We're not even Woolworths. We are the 99p shop pots. One use only, it's thought. That's us, an ordinary, everyday utensil, unremarkable, plain, fragile, bought to be used and then thrown away. That is what we are. Paul knew he was a jar of clay, and he tells us his experience in verses 8 and 9. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Every Christian I know, if they're honest, finds sharing the gospel difficult, because we know the response that will come. We don't have to be involved for very long before we feel so unimpressive, we feel weak. In the rest of life, we do anything to avoid that. And we can be sure that if we tell the gospel, that is how we will come across. And it'll come across like that because that is what we are. We are weak. Remember, this is spiritual warfare we're talking about. We are way out of our depth. We can't do it. Becoming a Christian doesn't turn us into some kind of superhero, able to rise above the flesh, the world, and the devil, and all that it throws at us. It is humbling to realize we are clay pots. We will find it hard going. Others will look down on us and will be tempted to give up. But Paul wants us to realize that, not to batter us into depression, but that'll then shape the way we speak and what we say. Because by nature, don't we? We love talking about me, ourselves. And we will do all we can to make ourselves look impressive or come across in a good light. Some of us are maybe brash and direct, have no shame in listing our achievements. Others of us, maybe most of us, think the more humble, self-effacing approach pays greater dividends in the end. Whatever our approach, we're the same. We want to impress. We can even do that as we try and explain our Christian story. Maybe we make it sound as if now that we're a Christian, it's all sorted. Life's a breeze. Things couldn't be better. Of course, if we're talking to someone who knows us at all well, they'll know that simply isn't true. So we might as well accept we are these jars of clay. Let's not pretend otherwise. And of course, if we don't do that, what we say will inevitably tend to undermine the gospel message that we're trying to communicate. Because what are we saying if we're trying to share the gospel? We're saying we've messed up. We're saying, if you like, we are failures before God. We were in such a desperate situation, there was nothing we could do. This is one thing we could not sort out. We simply needed someone else to do it for us. We needed help. We needed forgiveness, and there's nothing we could do to contribute. Of course, wonderfully, someone has provided. That's what we want to say. We want to say there is a rescue on offer. But we can't say that without making it clear we really did need rescuing. We haven't earned a thing. It's all been received as a gift. And even as a Christian, we recognize that every day we are dependent on the power of Christ at work within us. So let's take stock. Two truths about people that will help us have right expectations. Unbelievers are blind, in need of a miracle, and we are clay pots. Well, it doesn't sound like a great combination, does it, as a recipe for success in mission. It is humbling, isn't it? So if you or I think, next Easter, I'm going to make all the difference, well, we should forget that as soon as we can. But don't forget why Paul is telling us this, so that we do not lose heart. He actually thinks understanding this will keep us going in speaking to others. When we receive antagonistic response or sheer apathy, it won't derail what we're trying to do. We'll think we were expecting this. Nor will our weakness, when we come across again as weak, because we are weak, we'll remember God knows what we're like. And he wants to use us. We'll persevere. Because in our weakness, we do have a vital role to play. We are clay pots, but remember what's inside us. treasure. And treasure like this is for sharing. We have the gospel, the good news for all people everywhere. And we want to communicate how valuable it is. Well, with right expectations in place, how do we go about it? That's a huge question. But as we think about sharing our testimony, in the rest of tonight's passage, there are two important and very simple principles for us to remember. The first is simple. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Surely we think, come on, that's so obvious. What do you think I'm going to do, lie? We all know that. But of course, temptations come as we share the gospel. Look down to verse 2. Paul says, we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. As we share the message, we're tempted to make shortcuts. It's hard work. We care for our friends and family, so we want to make it sound appealing. We think, surely that's what we should be doing. So we embellish the message, maybe a little bit at first, but it's a slippery slope. We think like the world. We think what we need here is a sales pitch to get them in, and then maybe we'll fill them in on other things. We know people want prosperity, so we promise that in a way that is bound to be misleading. People claim that they're scientific. I hear that all the time. And so we maybe downplay the miraculous. People simply want the feel-good factor. We know they don't want to hear about sin and judgment. A cost? Well, we know they don't want that. So we don't mention Christ's lordship. As we chat, one thing people say to us very quickly is that they can't stand intolerance. So we go easy on Christ's unique claims. Now we tell ourselves we're not denying those truths, but just making sure that they're not misunderstood by our hearers. There is something in that, but it's all too easy, isn't it, for those central truths never to get a mention, or at least not in the proportion that we find them in the Bible. Paul knows this temptation, presumably, which is why he says he's renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. He won't distort, he won't manipulate, he won't coerce. And so we're to work harder what we say, not like the salesman trying to trick you into signing on a dotted line, but we work hard so that we are clear and faithful and truthful. We say it as it is. And amazingly, we find in verse 2, the temptation is to tamper with God's word. That's what we're doing. God has spoken. We know what he said in the Bible. And just realize if we change it in those ways I just mentioned, what we're actually doing is deciding that we know better than God what people need to hear. That would be a shocking thing to do. Let's make sure we hear what God is saying and then transmit it accurately in our conversations. Notice too that assumption there that in our evangelism we will be opening God's word using the Bible. Sometimes we get the idea that evangelism comes first, then Bible study. Well, Paul seems to think God's word will be at the forefront of our evangelism. So let's never be ashamed to open a Bible, or at least quote a verse at every opportunity. We've nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing in this book that we need to hide away from. And in fact, if we do that, verse 2, we will commend ourselves. Some people won't like what we say, but others will be pleased. They're tired of the hype, the exaggeration, the manipulation. They'll appreciate the straight talking. That's to be our strategy. So first, simple principle, tell the truth. And the second is to speak of Christ. Speak of Christ. Verse 5 sums up Paul's method, a great verse to learn. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we saw that that is a very simple summary of the gospel message. Jesus Christ is Lord. The man Jesus came to save humanity. He's the Christ, the promised King of the Old Testament, who would suffer and die. And he's now the Lord, demonstrated as such in his resurrection, ruling over all people everywhere. If that is true about Jesus, it's no surprise, is it? Don't talk about yourself. Talk about him. Speak of Christ. So as we're telling our story, and we do need to tell our story because they've asked us, we nevertheless are wanting to make sure that we are, in doing that, proclaiming Christ. We're speaking of him. A good check maybe might be is, as we're telling the story and we stop to draw breath, what are we hoping they're going to butt in with that question? Is it, oh, how did you achieve so much? How did you do that with your life? Or do we want them to butt in and say, that is so interesting, tell me more about this Jesus? We need to think how we can tell our story in a way that actually is getting people thinking about Jesus and hearing the truth about him. So I guess maybe lines like, I had no idea why Christians would celebrate the death of their hero, but then the penny dropped. Do you mind if I explain that to you? Lines like that are true for us, but pointing directly to the Lord Jesus. And look what happens if we do speak of Christ, according to verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you remember what we saw earlier? Unbelievers are blind. We can't give them sight. Should we not do anything? On the contrary, speak about the Lord Jesus. And it is as we do that, God works a miracle of opening blind eyes so that they can see Jesus for who he really is. So I hope here at St. Helens over the next few months that we are going to see many miracles and that we're praying towards that. Anyone who confesses Jesus Christ as Lord is a miracle. According to verse 6, comparable to the creation of the world. Isn't that an exciting work to be involved in? God's done that work in each of us if we're following Christ. And now that work needs to be done in others. We can't do it, but God can and will as we speak about Christ. Worth saying, putting our two points together, speaking the truth is not enough. If in our story we simply say lots of statements that are factually correct. What I mean is, sometimes you hear a story and people talk about church, which is good, their Christian friends, their benefits they enjoy of knowing Jesus, like forgiveness, without actually getting to the point, which is Jesus. So let's make sure we guard against this. What we long for is for people to know Jesus. So let's speak about him directly. So in these months leading up to the Passion for Life mission, the best preparation probably isn't so much methods and strategies. Let's focus on getting to know our Lord Jesus better. If you are new to St. Helens, maybe a Christian, moved to London, then find out about RML Mark, a small groups evening where over a year, every week, you get to meet Jesus in the pages of Mark's Gospel. And of those who have been around a while, all of us could do with reading the Gospels regularly to be reminded of what he's done, what he's said. Maybe noting and learning a few verses that would be really useful to use with our friends. One of my favourites is Luke 19:10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I remember Peter Jensen. He's the Archbishop of Sydney. Very important man. He was once talking about the way that he answers questions. Now, the media come up to him all the time and ask him all kinds of things about national politics, church scandals, everything under the sun. And he says most of them, given a choice, he wouldn't want to answer those questions. So he said he's come up with a strategy, if you like. He will answer the question as put to him, but in every answer he tries to speak about two things. He tries to say something from the Bible and something about Jesus. Well, what a great example to us from an archbishop, as he himself follows the example of the Apostle Paul. We'll finish just by looking at the final verse in that passage, which has been a great encouragement to me preparing this talk. Verse 10. We are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. We are weak, just like our Lord Jesus was in his earthly life and death. But you see, in that weakness, our perseverance, like we see in verses 8 and 9 for Paul, is actually something incredibly powerful. That is the gospel and its transforming power, keeping someone Christian and proclaiming the message where everything is counting against Paul and us doing that. So if we find that we are persevering despite the opposition and the apathy and the effort, that is God at work in us. So it is worth explaining, keep explaining, why being Christian is far better than the alternative that the world offers. We can speak positively of how Christ has and is changing us. It doesn't mean it's an easy life, as the world would think it is. But we can speak of how, united to Christ, we know something that the world knows nothing about. We have innumerable blessings already, which we enjoy as the world thinks we are weak and unimpressive. And of course, what's more, we have a glorious future awaiting us when we are finally resurrected and raised with Christ in glory. So there's Paul's advice for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've got about a quarter of an hour now before we turn again to pray. A couple of ideas for you to chew on around your table as you wish. One might be to go through those headings and just to think through how they impact us and how they might be a challenge to us in explaining the message to our friends and family. Or, as I said, you might want to have another go at telling your story. Rethink maybe those three bullet points. Which events or actions in my life would I choose to focus on in a way that would help me to speak the truth and to focus on the Lord Jesus? And then why not have another go around our tables? And we can help each other to see how what we're saying is coming across and sharpen each other up, so that when we're asked maybe by a non-Christian, we'll be better prepared than we would have been otherwise. Great. We've got about 15 minutes in our groups to do that. Okay, well, I hope that's been helpful to us. Whether we've been thinking about that maybe for the first time, or whether we've just been working on refining what we might say. Do keep at it. Sharing our story is a key way of explaining the message to those around us. Let's think how we can be engaging, but of course truthful, and focusing the attention on Jesus. It does take time to think through how to do it well, so do keep practicing. Maybe find people who are willing to listen and to help you to sharpen it up. Well, for our last few minutes this evening, we're going to turn to prayer. Obviously, around your tables, do share any particular burdens or prayer requests that are on your mind. But we could also pray through those headings, think through what they might mean for us and the non-Christians that we know, and keep those in mind. And obviously, we don't have to wait till next Easter. So let's be praying that, as hard as it may be to believe, the opportunities will come where people will ask us and that we'll be ready to take them. So let's pray, and then Sachi will close us in a few minutes.
Can I interrupt you there? And just as we're praying, just one other item for prayer. Some of you will know Martin and Jackie Walkley and Susan. You'll know the sad news that Martin's been taken to hospital with duodenal cancer, and apparently he's taken a bit of a turn down these last few days with an infection. He's in intensive care. So please do pray for them, if you know the family, even if you don't know the family. Wonderfully, they have the light of the gospel of God, the glory of God in the face of Christ, shone into their hearts, their lovely family. They know and trust Jesus, but please pray for them at this time. Pray for the doctors and for their trust in their Lord. If you do know them and want to be in touch with them, it's always quite difficult if you're going through an emotional time and everyone suddenly bombards you with phone calls at once. So Doug Olson is coordinating that. So please get in touch with Doug and he can arrange you calling them or you going to see them, just so that we don't overwhelm them. So please do it that way. Let me say a prayer for them now as we're together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful Christian family. of the walk list. Thank you that you have shone the light of your gospel into their hearts and that they know Jesus as Lord. And Father, just as they feel their real weakness at the moment with this disease and Martin's very ill health, we pray that they would keep trusting in you. They would not lose heart, and their hope would be in the resurrection from the dead. Please give skill to the doctors, Father, and as they work to fight this infection that Martin has, and use this sad time, this difficult time, for your glory. Pray for many, even in that hospital, Father, who are around them as a Christian family, to see the difference in the way even that Martin undergoes his treatment, for Jesus' sake. Amen.